it's happened in my life, and I believe it's in your life too. The Holy Spirit is working. Well, I know that I have been looking to this day for quite a few weeks. And as we do this, we can go ahead and dismiss kids. I think Julie is leading the march. She's like the Pied Piper. Kids, you can go to Children's Church now. And look at that young man, that good-looking young man with his Bible. That's good. That's what happens. That's a future good husband right there, because he's got the sword. He's got the Bible. And, I just know that this morning I'm expecting God to move in a great way. And it's not dependent on the perfect songs or the perfect phrasing. It's really dependent upon us pressing in and receiving from the Lord. And He wants to do great things in you this morning. He really does. How many of you believe that? I truly believe that. And God can work through mighty things and through really simple things. But today, He has chosen to work through someone very special, and who my wife and I have learned to really enjoy their company, and Bill and Darlene Davis. He was announced one time as just Bill. And I just thought it was a great story. And I told him, I said, well, today I'm just going to announce you as just Bill, not Reverend Most Holy Apostle Bill, or Evangelist Extraordinaire Bill, or any of these things. But I tell you, the Lord's used him through prophecy. He's been an evangelist. He's been pastoring. He has traveled all over. And we got the pleasure of spending some time and hearing some of the stories. I'm sorry you weren't at those tables with us to hear all of them. But you know what? You will taste and see that the Lord is good, and He is working through Bill and Darlene. And so He's been ministering for, you said, 48 years. That's amazing. Or right? 48 years. And then you guys have been married for 48 years? Did I get my 47, almost 48? So they're just starting out. Just starting out. Hopefully it'll work out for them. And but I just want to welcome you, Brother Bill. Have your freedom. Darlene, have your freedom. Would you guys welcome Bill and Darlene? Here's a microphone you could use too.
Not yet. Okay. I'll turn it on in a second. Proverbs 18:22. Some of you know this scripture. It says in the New American Standard, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. How many of you know in this day and age to call your wife a thing is not appropriate? Just not. So I began to look in the scripture to find a different translation, and the Living Translation says it perfectly. When a man finds a wife, he finds a treasure. And in that treasure, he receives the fullness of the blessing of God. And I saw the Lord show me that in a picture form with my wife, that God gave me a treasure I didn't deserve. I didn't earn it. I didn't buy it. But He gave me such a precious gift when He gave me this treasure. And I, as a husband, need to learn to dig that treasure out and expose it to the light. That light being Jesus Christ. So that the reflection of Jesus shines out of that treasure. So on that, my treasure is going to share something.
This is the most packed church that we have been in this summer, and we've been on the road almost, I guess we've been on the road 5 weeks. And I think that you guys are of the same mind as me. I could not, for the life of me, find social distancing in the Word of God. And not that I'm not respectful of people and people that are subject to disease or whatever, but I'm just so excited. The churches that we have been in so far have every other row blocked off, and you can only sit with who you walked in the door with. And so this is exciting. Yeah. And Michelle, I just wanted you to say that my husband is in competition with your husband being the best. The only thing is he gets to breathe and live another day because he has never pushed me out of a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have a small, we were at a prophetic meeting and Hilton Head a couple months ago, and one of the brothers said, I want everyone to share just a great revelation God's given you, because all of us have walked with the Lord for, you know, I've walked with the Lord since I was 8. And so for you that are coming tonight to hear his story, just to let you know, the only thing that we have in common is he robbed banks and I worked in them, and he never robbed one I worked in. But I want to tell you that you will enjoy yourself tonight. He's funny. He did some of the dumbest things, you know, got caught in crazy ways. So if you come tonight, you will not be disappointed. But this one of our brothers that we've walked with for many, many years said, what's one of the greatest revelations you've ever gotten from God? So I'm going to share one of the greatest revelations I've ever gotten from God. Quite a few years ago, I've been in a Bible study with the same ladies for 35, 40 years, and I'm leaving, going to the parking lot, and one of the ladies came up to me, and she said, I'd like to ask you to pray with me. And so she shared her problems that she was having right then. And I have to tell you, they were insurmountable. I could see no way that she could get past this. And I just felt so empty that I could not speak a word to this woman. And I said to her, well, all I can do is pray for you. And we prayed. She walked to her car. I walked to mine. And as I'm walking through the parking lot, the Lord said to me, what do you mean all you can do is pray? I knew he was not waiting for a reply. He said to me, when you pray, you're speaking to the creator of the universe. And I am the only one that has an answer to that lady's problems. So I have never looked on prayer the same. When you pray, God hears and he collects your prayers. We heard Dutch Sheets a couple years ago speak, and it was during the first election of President Trump, and he said, God, I just don't know how to pray. I just don't have the faith. He said, come into agreement with Catherine Kuhlman and Amy Simple McPherson and Oral Roberts. And he lists all these great men and women of God with so much faith. He said, but God, they're dead. He said, their prayers are not. That's my second biggest revelation. Come into agreement with the prayers. If you're praying for your children, your grandchildren, someone's prayed for them. Come into agreement with your family. God's collecting them, and he's getting ready. Throw down the answer. So never look on prayer like I did that day. Know that he's mighty to save. Thank you for having us.
You need this, Joe?
Yeah, no. All right. Might want to turn this one down. I was getting feedback.
Now. I like to mess with soundboards. I walked back with my water bottle earlier. And it had a cap on it, and I went, oh my goodness. Guy about fainted. When your desperation factor exceeds your embarrassment factor, you're a candidate for the grace of God.
Amen.
Should I say that again?
Yes.
When your desperation factor exceeds your embarrassment factor, you are a candidate for the grace of God. How can I say that? I can say that because I am living it. I am desperate for God. We sang it today. Did you mean it? One of you? Did you mean it? I want you more than I want me. I want your will more than my will. Quick question. How many of you love the Lord? Raise your hand. Wave at me. Look around, guys. Isn't that cool? How many of you like the Lord? Come on. That was a hesitation there, wasn't it? I love the Lord, but sometimes I don't like what He tells me to do. I don't like how He operates sometimes. I want things McDonald's way. When I pray, I want it now. Yes. Don't tell me you don't get in a McDonald's line and you get a little frustrated when they get it wrong or it takes them more than 3 minutes. Do you know that that's their limit is 3 minutes? Really? How do you know that? I talked to an owner of McDonald's. He said, that's our timing. It's 3 minutes. That you never are at that window longer than 3 minutes. And that they check everything to make sure you get everything. Because we have had frustrated customers. Same way with God. When He does it His way, which you sang, by the way. I listened. Anybody listen to the songs you're singing? Your way rather than my way. I would say it this way, Yahweh or the highway. It's God's way, and His way does not always fit our way, but His way is the best way. Say one other thing with me before I begin. I haven't even begun yet. Say this with me. Great big God.
Great big God.
Itty bitty devil.
Itty-bitty-devil.
You believe that?
Yes.
Great big God.
Great big God.
Itty bitty devil.
Itty-bitty-devil.
You see, the devil has tried to reverse that. Great big devil. Itty bitty God. No way. That's not the God I came into. Amen? All right. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along with me, turn to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If that offends any King James people, read it in your King James and read along with me. Yea, thy, thou, thee. I just covered your King James spirit. That was funny. 1 Kings 1:5. About that time, David's son Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, began boasting, I will make myself king. So he provided himself with chariots and charioteers and recruited 50 men to run in front of him. I don't want to read any farther. I was invited years ago, 20 some odd years ago, to speak at a conference in the Netherlands, Holland. The name of the conference was the Ascensions Conference. They have it every 5 years. They celebrate the ascension of Jesus when He ascended to the throne. Remember this in Scripture? Okay. They celebrate it every 5 years. Well, every year the church is celebrated. Every 5 years they come together in a major conference to celebrate the ascension of Christ. And they invited me, which I was shocked, to be the keynote speaker for that conference. And I was kind of shocked. I had never been to one, but I was told there'd be anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people. And I thought, well, that'd be a good conference. And so I booked my flight. They paid for it. I flew over. I was sitting in my seat, and I was about halfway over to Europe when I realized, I don't know what I'm going to share on. I'm a keynote speaker at a conference. What am I going to say? And I heard the Lord say to me this scripture that I just read you. Adonijah, the son of David,
said, I will make myself king. And he said this to me, is Jesus really king? Can you answer that? Is Jesus really king? I got an amen. I want you to think about that a moment. Is Jesus really my king? This young man rose himself up to take over David's throne. When David had already declared to his leadership, Solomon was to be the next king. But you see, he could not set him in as king yet, because the tradition of kings was you had to wait till the king died, then the next king ascended to the throne. So this young man, son of David, decided to make himself the king, usurping the throne from Solomon and David, by the way. He was tearing down his own father from his kingdom. So I will make myself king. And the Lord said, title it, Is Jesus Really King? And so I wrote my notes. I've got them here. I wrote them out, and they picked me up at the airport in Amsterdam. They drove me over to the conference center. When I walked in, there wasn't 500 people there. There wasn't 1,000 there. There were 5,000 people there. Now, I don't know if you've ever spoken publicly, but it's much easier to speak to 200 people than 5,000. Because what you try to do with 5,000 is look on the faces of the mean ones. In a crowd of 200, you put on your mask and you look really sweet and kind, so we can't see through that mask. But with 5,000 people, there are many that cannot hide that face. And Jeremiah, though, said, don't look on their faces. So I walk in, and there's a 60-foot platform, huge platform in this conference center. And on the platform was a banner, and it said this in Dutch, Jesus ist koning. Anybody translate Dutch? German? Jesus est is koning, king. Jesus is king. And I'm standing there with a message from the Lord, is Jesus really king? I said, God, you have set me up. You have set me up. And I went, give me another message, God. And he wouldn't. He didn't. He didn't say a word. I knew that's what I was supposed to preach. And I was the closing keynote speaker, and I announced my message, pointing at that sign, Jesus is King, and asked the question, is Jesus really King? Or have you, like Adonijah, set yourself up to be the king of your own life? Is Jesus really your king? It's a hard question. And I preached that message, what I'm going to share with you. And I came to the end, and I thought it had fallen flat. Ben, you ever had a message you felt fell flat?
That was last week.
Last week. I kind of feel like that right now. No, if y'all just hang in with me, I'll get you to this. But and I don't think you'll be disappointed. But I do want to say to you, I thought, boom, I had vomited all over the pulpit. And when I gave the invitation, over 3,000 people came to the altar. Yeah, wow. I shook my head and I said, God. And I prayed with them, and God fell. I mean, he came. People were weeping and hugging them, their wives and their husbands and their children. And their children came to the altars. And it was absolutely astounding to me. And I thought, God, you really did it. And so I walked out to the car. I was being transported into my hotel, and on the way back to the hotel, I started having a panic attack. And you say, what? I was having a panic attack. If you've never had one, you'll not comprehend. But if you've ever had one, you'll get it. I heard all these voices saying, you have single-handedly ruined the Dutch church. Now what happens when you're having a panic attack? You get these voices with words of grandeur. You single-handedly. Now how could I single-handedly ruin the Dutch church? The Dutch church had been there for over 2,000 years. And I'm this lowly American come in and ruin the Dutch church? That was words of grandeur. And he said to me, they're going to run you out of the country. You might as well go back and pack your bags because they're going to take you to the airport. I had 3 weeks of preaching to do in Holland. And so I went back. Now, again, if you've never had a panic attack, you don't get this, but I went back and I got my suitcase and put it on the bed and I started packing to go to the airport. A knock came on the door. I looked out the peephole, and standing there was Brother Van Amaram, the head of the Dutch church that I had just spoken at their conference. Standing next to him was my sponsor, Hank Van Velje, who was the head of Teen Challenge. And standing next to him was this big, muscular-looking dude. And I said, well, that's the muscle to get me out and get me to the airport. And so I didn't even want to answer the door, but I knew I had to. So I went over and I opened the door and I went back over and I started to close my suitcase and I said, I'll be ready in a minute. Brother Van Amaram looked at me and said, ready for what? For you to take me to the airport. He said, no, you have 3 weeks worth of preaching left. Hank Van Velje, my sponsor, is looking at me like, what? And the muscle guy was standing there waiting for me to hand him my suitcase, I think, but Brother Van Amaram said, no, Bill, we're here to ask something of you and have you sign a piece of paper. And again, the voices are telling me the piece of paper is your airline ticket home. Are you catching any of this? I was in panic, guys. And he said, this gentleman here with us is the head of the Dutch Pentecostal magazine. And we've come to get permission to print your message verbatim and put it in the Pentecostal magazine that goes out to 15 million people. I went, what? You're not running me out of town? No. The muscle guy was the head of that magazine. I signed the thing and they left and Hank stayed. Hank looked at me and he said, Bill, what is going on with you? And I said, I don't know. I'm having some kind of attack. And it's freaking me out. And he said, all right. And he makes a phone call. And he said, come on with me. Leave your stuff here. Come with me. So I go out and get in the car with him. And he says, I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm not telling you where we're going, but I'm going to take you somewhere. And he takes me. And we drive up into this driveway, and it's the Amsterdam Psychiatric Hospital. Now, I'm having a panic attack, okay? And I'm going, they're going to put me in the institution. And we get out, and I'm hangdogged. Now, listen, I'm not a hangdog person. I mean, you hang around with me long enough, you know I'm not a hangdog dude. But my head was down, and we walk into the psychiatrist's office, and he's sitting behind his desk was huge. It wasn't big, but it was looking huge, you know. And I said, Hank, why am I here? He said, this doctor is on my board of directors. I told him what was happening with you. He said, he knows what's wrong. Bring him over here. He said, have you ever had a thyroid problem? I said, yes, when I was a kid, I had hyperthyroidism. He said, well, it's come back on you. And he said, I can get rid of it in 3 days without medication, just with a diet. And he handed me this piece of paper. And I started reading it, and I said, you know, I can do that. And for the next 3 days, before I started going out preaching, I did that diet. Hank took me around to all the places that were relaxing. Windmills, museums. I am not a big museum guy, okay? But he took me to the Rembrandt Museum. And I stood in front of the painting called The Village. And I stood there weeping. Because I realized that was nothing more than an attack of a devil trying to be a great big devil. And I went on to preach for the next 3 weeks, and God poured His love out everywhere. And then I flew home. And I did that diet, and it was amazing. But as I was preparing to speak this morning, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And because I've got probably 700 messages in my briefcase. That's a joke. You know what's crazy? In Minnesota, I have to explain my jokes. I didn't think I'd have to do that here in Green Bay. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, follow me. Psalm 24, 7. Open up, O ancient doors. Open up, ancient gates, and let the King of Glory come in. You know, if you stop for a moment and you read that scripture, it is as poetic as any scripture you'll ever find. Open up, you ancient gates. Doesn't that sound poetic? Open up, you ancient doors. I could really get British on you, but I won't. But listen to me. As I saw that scripture, I saw something I had never seen before. I said, God, where are the ancient gates and the ancient doors? He said, in the hearts of my people. Open up, you ancient gates. Throw aside all the ancient stuff that's been put in you. The hurts, the pain, the divorces, the addictions. Those are ancient gates, or they should be. Open them up and open up the doors to your heart, those ancient doors, and let the King of Glory come in. Come on, guys. It's time we stop holding on to the past. And start sharing who God really is. Is Jesus really King? Is He your King? You see, I believe, this is my belief now, and you, if you walk out this door and say, Bill taught this is absolute. I love that little guy, by the way. Did you see him worshiping? I looked around. He was worshiping more than some of y'all were. Anyway, can I step down here while I get feedback? Open up, you ancient gates. Open up, you ancient doors, and let the King of Glory come in. That was not just a poetic word. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a king. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, that's kingdom. Righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Righteousness. What is righteousness? It's walking first right with God. Of making sure your heart is right. When I meet with people, and we meet with a lot of people, I can instantly tell if they're right with God or they're not. I don't know why I have that, but I have it. And I can sense it. I can tell it if they're right with God. Because if you're not right with God, you'll not be right with the rest of the righteousness, which is right in your family. Having a right relationship in your family. It translates right relationship. Doesn't translate some kind of holiness. That was British for holiness. It doesn't translate that. It translates right relationship. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's right relationship which brings peace and joy. Amen. In the Holy Spirit. That's deep. I'm not deep, but that's deep. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have right relationship with God first and foremost. If that's funky, the rest of your relationships will be funky. Your marriage will be funky. Your work will be funky. Your learning will be funky. You won't listen with the right ears. You'll listen with self-centered ears. It is not the kingdom of self. It's a kingdom of righteousness with God. Open up, you ancient gates, and let go. And let God come in as your king. Everything else in this world wants to be your king. Listen, I know from whence I come. I came from a bad situation into the kingdom of God. And He turned me around 180, and you're going to hear that tonight. I'm not going to share it this morning. But how many of you know, if you're right with God, then your marriage is going to get right. You'll start working and saying, God, help me. And you see, the kingdom of God is rooted not in selfishness, but in humility. It's rooted in humility, humbling yourself first before God. God, I need your help. You know the quickest prayer God ever answers? You want to hear it? I'll lead you in it, okay? Get ready now. Help! That's the quickest prayer God ever answers. Why? Because it's rooted in humility. It's rooted in saying, I can't do it on my own. I can't do this thing anymore. I need your help. I've done it long enough. I'm done, God. I need you. Help! God moves on that prayer because He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And listen, I heard a preacher say this one time, and I hate to repeat it, but I'm going to repeat it. He said He loves you so much, He beats the out of you. That's what we're lacking in our human relationship. You say, well, I would never beat my child. Let me ask you a question. Has setting them in a corner and giving them timeouts, has that really worked? You just go to Minneapolis, to the streets of Minneapolis, and you see all the people there who have been set in the corner and given timeouts. It's a proven fact. It don't work. Beating your children doesn't work either. But the Scripture says, a rod. Now let me say to you, some of you are looking at me like, I don't like you. Join the crowd. I'm not up here to be liked. If you don't like me, did y'all see that? Can we translate? Big, hairy deal. I don't care if you like me or not. I'm not here for a popular contest. And listen, after tonight, I'm leaving town.
Open up. Get rid of the ancient doors. Get rid of the ancient gates. And say, you no longer have authority over me. I'm going in. The King of Glory is coming in. And he's going to set me free. And I'm going to be free indeed. You sang it. Did you mean it? So there's the problem. Worship is not really worship unless you mean it. Amen. It's just singing. Amen. It's not a song we're talking about. We're talking about a heart that's reaching to the kingdom and crowning Jesus as king. Yeah. Taking the crown off your own head and eventually throwing it at the feet of Jesus. All of us have a crown. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Can I have 10 more minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Blame him. He said yes. John 18, 33 through 37. I'll read it. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought in. Are you king of the Jews? He asked him. Jesus replied, is this your own question, or did others tell you about me? His response, am I a Jew? Pilate retorted, your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate said, so you are a king. Jesus responded, you say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. Is he the king? That's what he was born into this world for. To be the king. And our call is to set him on the throne of your heart. I believe every one of us have a throne in us. And it's not white porcelain. That's a popcorn joke. You got it right away, didn't you? No, it's a throne that is fit and designed for one person, Jesus Christ. It will not fit you. You are not fit to sit on that throne. And there comes a time in every one of our walk where we have to say, I'm not doing so good with this. Jesus, will you take over? Come sit on the throne of my heart. When Pilate looked at him, are you king of the Jews? You notice he didn't say, yes, I'm king of the Jews. He said, for this I was brought into this world, and that is to be the king. The king. Not a king. The king. Not just king of the Jews, but king of the world. And he's seated in a throne in heaven. Now I'm going to close. And let me say this. Don't get too excited. I close 5 times.
But Bill, lunch. We've got lunch.
Maybe food's your king.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he did.
I don't like him.
You've yet to give your offering. Just show it in the offering. You're going to love this. If you don't love this, you don't need awakening revival. You need resurrection. What? You're deader than a doornail if you don't respond to this scripture. Revelation 19, 11 through 16.
Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword, striking down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written the title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Come on! King of all kings! Lord of all lords! King means ruler. Lord means provider. Is he your provider? If he's your king, you'll eventually come to him being Lord. You see, here's the issue, and I'm Southern Baptist by ordination. What? Really? I'm Southern Baptist by ordination. I have 3 ordinations. I had to go get 2 more to make it up. Listen, most of us know him as Savior. Oh man, he saved me from so much. He's my Savior. If that's all he is, you're missing the kingdom. He saved you to bring you into something better than you could ever dream of. He saved you not just to take you to heaven. If he saved you just to take you to heaven, he would have raised up something other than apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He would have raised up shotgunners. So what do you mean? I give my life to you, Jesus. Save me. Shotgunner. Boom! Anybody else? Nope, not me. He didn't raise up shotgunners. Thank God, because he's not ready for you yet. He's still processing you. And let me see. Let me look on some faces that are not angry with me. Would you like the gifts of ministry to be shotgunners, or would you like them to be people who encourage you and build you up and strengthen you?
Amen.
And say to you, there's something much better. That world has nothing to offer you. But what did Jesus say? I didn't take you out of the world. I left you in the world that you might be the light that shines out of the innermost being of your soul, because the King is on the throne of your life.
Amen.
Wake up! What? Wake up. You're not from a little sleepy village in Wisconsin. You're from the home of the Packers. Come on. Gut it up. And say to God, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I'm not. My future is yours, God. I came to the Lord 48 years ago knowing I'd be dead in 3 days. Doctors had diagnosed me to die in 3 days. Had a bleeding ulcer. I refused surgery. I walked out of the hospital. You'll hear this tonight. And I don't want the surgery. I got nothing to live for.
3.5 hours later, I found something to live for. Jesus Christ delivered me, set me free from heroin addiction. Come on, guys. Amen. And he said, listen, he said, here. And he lifted me up out of the pit and he put me on solid ground and he said, now you go. Come on. And thinking I had 3 days to live, man, I'm going to make the most of my 3 days. I didn't want to go out and find beer. I didn't want to go out and find a woman. I didn't want to go out and find drugs. I wanted to go out and find the lost. That was my heart. That was 48 years ago in March. This last March. And he said, I got something for you to do. And he healed me. I didn't ask for healing. I didn't even know what healing was. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Didn't know what it was. I didn't care. I still don't care. See, part of the problem why people have a hard time getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit is they care too much. Oh, somebody told me that's not good. Oh, that speaking in tongues can't be God. Really? Really? Open up your Bible and read it. Did you know that in the late 60s and early 70s, there were 25 million charismatic Catholics speaking in tongues?
Amen.
25 million. Yes, but I'm a Lutheran. Help me, Jesus. We don't do that. Oh, man, I gotta shut up. I know you got lunch waiting. I hope you got something out of this. Is Jesus really King? Is He really King? He is. And all He's waiting for is for you and I to get off the throne of ourself. I wrote a song a few years ago. You want to hear it? It's all about me, Jesus. It's all about me. It's not about any of you. It's all about me, Jesus. You liked that, didn't you? I didn't know you could sing. Well, I can't. Listen, I'm going to give an invitation right now. And the invitation that I'm going to give has to do with what I preached. Is Jesus King of your heart? You're young, most of you. Some of you are way old. Well, you're right there, middle age, around 73. Come on. It's time to set Jesus on the throne and say, what do you want? I know what I want. What do you want? What if it's different from what you want? To take yourself off the throne this morning and invite Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Wherever you are. Stand up. Come forward right now. Come on. This altar is big enough for all of you. Come on. Crowd in. Move up to the front. Let somebody get in behind you. Wow.
prophetic work. Would that be all right? And I am not Prophet Bill. I'm not Apostle Bill. I'm not Evangelist Bill. I'm not Pastor Bill. I'm not Teacher Bill. I'm just Bill. Okay? And I'm going to give you a prophetic word. You want to hear it? First, let's pray. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of running my own life. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash my heart clean and give me a future with you as the King. I get off the throne of my heart and I ask you to come and take your place. Lord Jesus, take your place. Father, bless this prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn to the person next to you and say, that guy's bald, but I think I like him. Here's the prophetic word. There's a ruling entity over this community. We call them squat spirits. It's spirits that are allowed to come in and squat over the community and intimidate the community. When I drove into Green Bay, God spoke to me and He said, there's a squat spirit over this city. I'm going to tell you the name of it. The name of the squat spirit is idolatry. It's idolatry. And listen, I'm a Bucks fan. I love the Bucks, but I don't idolize them. You're Packers fans. I can see it in your faces. Don't make them your idol. It's a team of football players that happen to be very, very good. Okay? But it's idolatry. I felt like the Lord said to me, there's a spirit of religious idolatry in this city. I don't think you have it in this church. I really don't sense it in this church. I sense a heart for God. So I'm speaking to you about your community. What do we do about it? We put Jesus on the throne of our hearts and we walk out of these doors and we decree to the world, Jesus is my King. That's your calling. So, well, I want to be a pastor. Go out and decree Jesus as King first. Then we'll see. Amen? I want you to know I married way, way up. Way, way up. And I'm a blessed man. She's my favorite speaker. Anything to share?
Good morning.
Use your mic, darling. It's on. It's green.
Okay, it's on. From the minute I laid eyes on you, Jesus was doing this. I know, but Jesus said, I know His name. What He showed me He has for your future. It's amazing. He said, some things are pulling you. But He knows your heart. Your heart loves Him more than those things that are pulling you. And the Lord wants to empower you this morning. Because what He has for you.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And what the enemy has tried to do is take that destiny. God's got a great destiny.
Yes.
But you know what? The enemy overplayed his hand because what he is delivering you from this morning, you are going to use him
to deliver others. You are going to be, I want you to know, this is heavy calling. Okay. So, I'm just, Lord, what is your name?
Brandon.
Thank you, Lord, for Brandon. Lord, thank you that from the moment I saw him, you put him on my heart, Lord, to pray for him, to intercede because of the powerful call you have on his life and the way the enemy is fighting him. But right now, I speak to you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. This is a vessel of the Most High God. It doesn't matter what he's walked in to this day. I feel, Lord, that he has repented and the shame is gone in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Because shame is a liar. Shame tells us all the things we can't do.
Yeah.
But Lord, when we are set free from shame, there's nothing we can't do for you, Lord.
Right.
So Lord, Brandon, Lord, he's called by you. This is a day that he will never forget. July 26, 2020 was the day that he entered his calling. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen him, that fear would not be his portion, and that he would not have embarrassment in his life, but that you would give him such boldness that he'll be a new man, one new man in you, Lord. And I thank you for washing him and cleansing him, Lord. And I thank you that you pointed him out to me, that he's special to you and you know his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask if the enemy comes knocking, that you answer the door. If fear comes knocking, faith answers the door. If discouragement answers, hope answers the door. If rejection knocks, your acceptance answers the door. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Remember, I told you I closed 5 times.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is my actual close. Okay? In 2008, I had open heart surgery. Doctor told me he knew where I got it from. I'm a golfer. He said, too many cheeseburgers at the turn. Some of you golfers will get that. But when they brought me out of surgery, my blood pressure dropped to 60 over 30. If you don't know what that means, it means something was bad wrong. And so they rushed me back into surgery. They opened me up again. And my heart doctor came in the room and told me about it. He said, we didn't put you back on the bypass machine. That would have taken too long. So I carotid your heart. I said, you did what? He said, I carotid your heart. I said, how do you spell that? He said, well, it's a French word. C-O-U-R-A-G-E. Courage. He said, I carotid your heart. Until they fixed the bleeder, then we closed you back up. And he said, I'm going to give you another 25 years. I'll take 50. But listen, the word courage, was not a word that was spoken in Hebrew or Greek. There wasn't a word for it. So when King James conscripted the Bible to be written and translated, they didn't have a word where it says, encourage one another. So they used something that was dreaded for British people, a French word. The Brits don't like the French. But the word courage was used, the French word for courage, and it literally translates put the heart back. Put the heart back. One of the words God spoke through Darlene just now was discouragement. Anybody tired of discouragement? Man, everywhere we go, we see discouragement. We see people walking in fear. And I'm not a mask bully. Listen to me, I'm not. I'll wear a mask if they absolutely tell me, bottom line, you can't come in this store without a mask.
If I need something in that store, I'll put a mask on. If I don't, I'll say thank you anyway. Are you with me? You may not like this, but I'm telling you, we are called to encourage one another and build one another up day by day, amen, as long as it's called today.
Amen.
Amen.
So before you're released from this altar, I want you to turn to somebody, get in a little group of four or five, and encourage one another. You say, well, how do I do it? Well, you just take somebody like this and you say, look, you got a real destiny ahead of you. You're a good-looking man. I love your glasses. Are you there? Just pick out some. Don't discourage him. Don't say, you know, you could use a different pair of glasses. Unbelievable. That's discouragement. That's taking the heart away. Build up one another. Walk out built up. Okay? Turn to somebody right now and build them up.
And if God has used someone in your life and you've never told them, you need to tell people what they've done in your life, a word that they gave, something that they've said.
Say something to them.
Amen.
I love your pastoral skills. I think you've got some of the best I've ever seen. And your creativity is off the chain. It's one of the most precious gifts God could ever give someone, is that creativity.
Thank you for joining the Visible Church online. If you have any special prayer needs, please contact the Visible Church through email at prayer@visiblechurchgb.com, or you may call us at 920-569-0944. May God bless you, and I'll see you soon.